This week in Your Parents' Basement, we're jumping and piloting our way through Sarah Solid, and not the Mushroom Kingdom. From 1989, we're playing the Game Boy launch game, Super Mario Land, released by Nintendo. I'm Steve Greenwald, and with me is the co-host that grew up wanting to marry Princess Daisy. It's Huell Hauser.
Mario can travel anywhere he likes underwater in this torpedo-armed submarine.
Ooh. And our other co-host, he grew up wanting to be Princess Daisy. It's Tom Brisket.
Ayoy hoy, this game is like Mario on acid.
I thought you were doing a Mr. Burns ahoy hoy there.
That's the name of one of the bosses.
I know it was.
Oh, nice. We'll get into that. You can reach us by email at parentsbasementpodcast@gmail.com and follow us on Twitter and Facebook. Subscribe to us on Spotify, Google Play, or iTunes. And when you do, be sure to give us some stars. You can also join our Discord channel by going to ypbpodcast.com/Discord, where you can chat with all the sweet baby boys. Also, if you want to support the show, you can find our Amazon click-through link on the YPB homepage, ypbpodcast.com. The homepage is also where you can find our archive, which is accessible by clicking the button on the top of our page. This week's game is Super Mario Land. Released in 1989, this game was a launch title for the old Nintendo's The Game Boy. It bundled with the device in Japan, and it was available from the very first day in the States. And you know what? This is a game that some people love.
Mm.
Todd, what is your experience with this one?
Ooh, people, you know what? People do love this game. But for me, I'll be open, completely open and honest here.
Please be honest.
My first time playing it this week.
Oh,
first timer.
My God.
Ooh, let me open and more honest. Open. I didn't play the legend, the sequel, The Legend of the Six Coins either.
That's okay.
And be the open, well, by all accounts, the far superior game to this one. And to be even more open and honest, I've only on the Game Boy played Wario Land, Super Mario Land 3, which I put down as one of my all-time favorite Game Boy games, and which is why we covered it a few years ago. We covered that one.
That was one of our, I think it was our first Game Boy game that had been covered.
Yes. Yeah.
So, you know what? Playing this game this week, comparing it to my experience with Wario Land and its advanced technology that it implemented, this was a launch title for the Game Boy in the U.S., and I'll give it that. But it felt like I was playing a Mario that somebody ported onto my TI-89 calculator in my algebra class in high school.
Whoa!
Wow.
I mean, I don't know. Is it that much different than Mario Bros. 1?
It is. I would say, you know, in concept and theme, it is not. Well, but in playability, I think it definitely is. The controls are.
I mean,
are,
you got to think. You got to think about what the loose. Original Game Boy was. Like, this thing was a giant brick with like a 2-inch screen.
So that's points for its technology here.
Yeah, I'm giving it points for pulling off a Mario game in 1989 on a tiny little computer thing.
I will give it that, but as soon as you pop in that Mario Land 2 or that Mario Land 3 colon Wario Land, you know what the Game Boy can do.
Right. So they had some time to figure it out. It got better.
I'd also like to point out that your TI-89 calculator had about 100 times the RAM of the Game Boy, apparently.
Really?
So
didn't have the greatest controller setup because the arrow keys were on the right hand side, so you had to swap your controlling hand.
Good point.
Yeah. The TI-89 came out in according to a quick Google, came out in 1998, so that had 256 kilobytes of RAM. The Game Boy had 8. So
kilobytes.
Mm. Yep, 8.
Anyway, kilobytes. So. Yeah, I mean, I don't want to disparage this too much. This is a good game. This is a good game.
I mean, yeah, looking at the screenshots, I'm just comparing to, I get it,
to the Marios I've played. Like, if you compare this, even compare it to Mario the Brothers 1 on the NES, that is a superior game to this one.
Well, yeah, it's one of the greatest games of all time. I mean, what do you want, dude?
You know what? I will say So I think Super Mario Land is a it's a really, really high peak value. Like for the hour that this game lasts, it's fun. It's a lot of fun. I love the shoot 'em up stages. Those are always my favorite. The two.
Yeah, the aeroplane and the submarine.
Yes, those are fun. They're kind of weird and different for a Mario game. But I feel like it's a common thing with Game Boy games is except for the RPGs, like not a ton of depth. Like you can beat this game. I remember beating this game several times as a kid, and yeah, it would take me about an hour. Like it's not
completely an issue with these games where they're made to be played handheld. You know, just a quick little jaunt. When you have some downtime, you're waiting
there's no saving. It's like that kind of thing.
Yeah. Waiting at your little sister's softball game. You have some downtime. You need to knock out an hour.
So bored, Mom.
We went over the same thing with Kirby, the Kirby game on the Game Boy.
Game Boy, little Todd.
That also is like a quick 30 to 1 hour minute jaunt. There's no saving. It's not until you get to Mario Land 2, which is, by all accounts, far superior, where you get to saving a world map, a giant world to explore.
Yeah, so they had 3 more years of development. I just checked. Came out in 92. Yep. So, and by that time, they kind of figured out world on the SNES, right? When was that? 93?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, like, yeah, they're going to... Maybe I'm taking offense because this is a game I played the hell out of.
Ooh! I see. Okay.
Like, this was, like, the Game Boy. I love the Game Boy. Love the original Game Boy, how much of a clunky mess it was, and you had to...
Game Boy!
Sit under a lamp to play it. I mean, I just love that piece of crap. It's just, like, such a fun, dumb system. But, obviously, a pioneering system. So, I played the hell out of Super Mario Land. It's a Mario game for the Game Boy. And, it's like, Mario World was 92 or 90. Wow. So that was in development probably as this was.
90?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really? So, yeah. So by the time Land 2 came out, they kind of had the formula down. They said, let's make a Game Boy one. So, yeah, Land 1, I mean, it's weird because it's not in the Mushroom Kingdom, although it kind of is. Like, it's almost the same enemies, but it's in, like, this desert world of Sarasaland, and you're not fighting Bowser, you're fighting
Tatanga.
Yes.
Who's Sarasaland. An alien who comes down to Sarasaland and captures Princess Daisy. Sorry, wants to marry Princess Daisy and make her his queen.
Wow, those aliens are so polite. They want to make a woman out of her.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, at least he wants to marry her and, like, you know, make it a true love situation. But it is the same plot. It's just in a different land with a different princess and a different weirdo boss guy.
So are we dealing with like a parallel world Mario or what?
I guess so. It says, so the story in the manual says there's a peaceful world called Sarasaland. In this world, there were 4 kingdoms, wink, named Birabuto, Muda, Easton, and Chai, which sound like Quincy friends for Mitch. One day, the skies of Sarasaland were suddenly covered by a huge black cloud. From a crack in this cloud, the unknown space monster Tatanga appeared to try to conquer Sarasaland. So, like, who the hell knows?
So, like, this does feel like an alternate dimension that we are living in. Because, like, one of the biggest indicators is that they don't have Goombas in this game. They have Goombos in this game.
No. What they have are Chibibos, which are a timid mushroom. A timid mushroom that toddles along the ground is what the manual says.
Is that in the English manual?
This is the English manual.
I'm looking at the MarioWiki.com, and they call them Goombo. In parentheses, originally known as Chibibo.
They are 100 points. But yeah, they are Goombas, though. I mean, it's the same effing thing. Like, and the Koopas are called Nokobons, and they are Koopas that after you jump on them, their shell turns into a bomb and explodes.
And in the official MarioWiki.com, which is not official by Nintendo, it's MarioWiki.com is officially a wiki.
It is officially a wiki.
Bombshell, bombshell Koopas.
But not officially a Mario.
In parentheses, originally known as Nokoban.
Nokoban.
Yeah, this is the English God's America manual. And then we have
another great one here. In your manual, in your God's manual there, it's known as Gita.
Which one?
But on this official wiki of MarioWiki.com, it's called Bullet Biff.
Yeah, Bullet
Instead
Bill,
of Bullet Bill.
Or Bullet Biff is a Gira. And then, yeah. Hold on, there's also the chomp, what are they actually called in the game? The flowers, the pipe flowers? Do they
Piranha plants.
Yeah. This is called a Pakun flower.
on the official MarioWiki.com,
official, unofficial Mario
officially wiki. A wiki, it is called the Piranha plant.
Oh, well.
Which is also called Piranha plant.
Same thing.
Wow.
So yeah, I mean, there's some crossover enemies, but there's a lot of new ones too, like these flies and spiders and these like Easter Island looking dudes.
So here's the deal with this one.
Yeah, please. Is this a Doki Doki situation?
Not quite, but a little bit, because this was the first Mario game that was done without
old Shiggy.
Oh, your boy Shiggy.
Oh,
Shiggy Miyamoto.
Yeah, boy, Shiggy.
Shiggy Miyamoto. Did
Interesting.
Not do that.
Okay.
So this was done by Game Boy creator
Alfred Chicken.
Gunpei Yoki. He was
that
the producer.
Son of a.
And
Gunpei Yoki.
The director was Satoru Okada. So. That's probably why it has some things in common with the Mario series, but
right.
But not in the other thing is at this point there's only three games, so it was just you get your
were Super there Mario three?
Well, you had your Super Mario 1, you had your Super Mario Doki Doki Panic, which you know for the most part they just pretend it doesn't exist and don't really
well for in Japan it did not exist.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So
it was Doki Doki over there with your papa and your mama and your whoever they had in there.
Your toad
grandmama.
Friend.
Yeah. Your little mushroom.
Grandmama, yeah.
Oh, I want to see that grandmama in Super Mario Brothers 2. Like I mean the Larry Johnson character.
Yeah.
And then Super Mario Brothers 3. So
okay.
You know, at that point there wasn't really a Mario canon.
Whoa!
To include.
Okay. Well, I mean, so
it was not in the show. This is not in the show.
None of this was in the show at this point. Is
okay.
What you're trying to tell me.
Yeah.
Well, the thing, I mean, this still has like all the same Mario stuff that all the other games do. Like,
yeah, it's just. A little
it's cool. Not like a crazy departure. It's just weird that it's like in this desert world, and none of none of the enemies are called what they should be.
Mm-hmm. You know what? Mario was not tied down yet. He's still go out and play the field. He's got to go out and play that field.
He's totally playing the field because who cares about Princess Peach? We got Princess Daisy.
Woo!
Hey now. So he goes through all that trouble in one to rescue this effing Princess Peach. And he's like, I'm tired of this. There's a new lady in Sarasaland that needs my assistance.
I will say much like Super Mario Brothers 2, this game is treated like that. Where, as far as I can tell, Nintendo has shoved it out on the Virtual Console, but they've never done like a remake or a straight up re release of it.
Guy Fieri think of it? What's his name?
Guy Miyamoto.
Guy Lombardo. Who?
Gunpei Yoki.
Gunpei Yoki.
I feel like I should send this to Todd so that he can actually pronounce it. But
I think you nailed it.
I'm sure I did, but just Just to get us another another set of eyes on this.
Well, it says Gun Pie Yoki.
So his name is Gun Pie, and his last name is Yokoi. But you pronounced it Gun Pie Yoki. I thought his first name was Gun, and his last name was Pie Yoki. It's Gun Pie.
Let me attempt.
Oh, please.
From all my training in speaking and languages, let me attempt my pronunciation, all right?
An expert.
Gunpei Yokoi.
Okay. Gunpei Yokoi.
I mean, I think mine's pretty good, too. Gunpei Yokoi.
Shamui 3.
Shamui 2.
It also works as, like, in anime or a manga, even.
Mungo?
Yes, it works as a mango creature or a manga, either or.
We are off the rails. Were there even rails to begin with? I do not know.
Well,
We did
also pick this game because it's obviously the anniversary of the Game Boy as well.
Mm-hmm.
And in Gunpei Yokoi, he was the designer and creator of pretty much all of Nintendo's handheld stuff. Unfortunately, he died.
Mr. Game and Watch himself.
Yeah, he died, I think, a year after the Virtual Boy. So his career was not...
Wait,
that was his lasting legacy.
A year after the Virtual Boy died?
On his wiki page, it says, Yokoi's Virtual Boy.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Yokoi's Virtual Boy.
Oh, it even rhymes.
Yeah, it was... That was kind of a bit of a low note.
Do you know the title of his biography? Father of Games, Gunpei Yokoi. The man who created Nintendo's DNA.
Yeah.
What a
title.
An art gallery in Japan created an art exhibit in 2010 titled The Man Who Was Called the God of Games.
Oh my god.
I don't know. You know what? Maybe Shigeru Miyamoto was not all he's cracked up to be, and this is the real deal.
Sounds like Shiggy's the
he's just the face.
Would you consider Gunpei Yokoi the black sheep of the Nintendo family?
I'm the black sheep of the family.
Where?
He is a face that people do not know.
Don't know, yeah. Exactly.
Well, he is their head of R&D1, which is their famous game development. It's basically... the department that did everything that Miyamoto did not do. So he did, Game & Watch, Game Boy, Metroid, Kid Icarus, like that
all
kind
those,
of stuff.
Oh, he's a Metroid. He's Mr. Metroid.
Yes.
Oh. Well, there you go.
And he's Mr. Kid Ick.
Yeah.
Hey,
and he did
Mr. Ick himself.
And while we were talking. So I don't think Game Boy games, most of them don't have a lot of depth. Like most of them are either puzzlers that don't end or they're games that, maybe beat them in an hour or two.
Like the early ones.
But yeah, I was just going to say, I'm not sure if anyone ever got more out of a system than Nintendo got out of that goddamn Game Boy.
Oh, like, wow. They were, that got some mileage for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they were pumping out, like when did Pokemon come out in the U.S.? I feel like it was...
98?
It's like 95?
No, it's later than that.
96.
It's like 98.
Yeah, it's...
But even then, they laid out future, further iterations of the console itself with the Game Boy Color and all the different varieties of Game Boys that still played the same cartridges.
U.S. release date, September 28th, 1998.
Yes.
For red / blue.
Yeah, like
you
that.
You got it. You got it.
I knew it. I always go by grade.
You got it. You knew it. And you said it. And you got it.
I know games by grade. What grade was I in when this was released?
That was cool. My mind went to the same place. I was like, I think that came out when I was in high school. which is 99 was my freshman
you're
year.
So effing old.
No, I know.
You're a year older than me. It was like eighth grade for me, and you're like, I was a freshman in high school.
Yep. I was doing cool stuff, playing the...
Like playing Pokemon.
Pokemon Red. I know. I'm now trying to look up quickly, like, what was the last game to come out.
I think it was last year.
Mm.
2018. Yeah. NBA 2K18.
Actually, Pokemon Yellow.
Mm.
There was a version that came out for Game Boy.
So we're talking about, like, not color, not advanced, like, OG Game Boy.
Yes. Right. But before that, Beavis and Butthead.
Ooh.
Oh.
In March 1999.
Put it on the list.
Get them Beavis and Butts on the list.
Small double, Soldiers, Mulan. Jesus, this thing lasted forever.
Small Soldiers.
Wow. Yeah.
Not surprising, a lot of licensed games.
Yeah. The Kirsten Dunst starring vehicle, Small Soldiers.
Right.
So.
Her follow-up to Jumanji.
But no, Nintendo got a lot out of this system. And I don't know. Did you guys ever play the Game Gear? I played it here and there. And
I missed out on that game.
Yeah.
I missed out on the Game Gear. I was a Game Boy boy myself.
Mm-hmm. 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 Yeah, I was a Nintendo freak once the Genesis was laid to rest.
Once the Genesis did and what died.
Ted.
When Nintendo lived.
Dead. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But yeah, so Super Mario Land, pretty good game, dude.
Yeah.
Something I noticed, I don't know if you fellas, and, you know, full disclosure, I was not able to find a cart for sale of Mario Land at my local Funko Land this week. Mm. So I had to download an emulator. Of course, I deleted it within 24 hours.
You better not still have it.
As required by law. But something I noticed, I don't know if this happens only on the emulated, the ripped ROM copy of this game, or on the real cart itself, is that if you jump, you kind of float. And you can float up, float down if you're jumping. But if you walk off the edge of a ledge, you drop like a rock.
Very quickly, yeah. That definitely happens.
Did that happen in the actual cart? I'm trying to clarify.
Yes. You drop like a rock. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so disturbing.
You can do the classic, like, jump and turn and kind of go left and right as you're jumping, but once gravity takes over and you don't jump using
If you walk off a ledge, you just fall straight down.
Yeah, it's like, really it's like so quick. It's like a Family Guy animation. You're just like immediately on the next level. Yeah, it's weird, I guess. I don't know if I noticed it that much, but now that you mention it, sure.
It's definitely different physics than Mario 1 and Mario 3.
Different physics. Let's talk about that fireball.
It's not a fireball, my friend.
Yep.
It's an actual ball, right? It's
super a super ball.
Super so ball.
You still pick up the flower. They just call it a flower. It's not a fire flower. But when picking up the flower, you become Super Ball Mario.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, this is a fireball super ball that bounces around a lot. It stays around for a while, and you can't shoot another one until that one is gone. But yeah,
it's a one ball per screen situation.
Crazy physics on that Super Bowl.
Yeah, it kind of fits in with the like art aesthetic of the game, where it's like
it's just a pixel
drawings. Yeah,
well, it's like how the Koopas are bombs, and they're just like weird ball things that explode. Like now, I'm just going to shoot some balls at some flies.
No, here's what happened is that for the Koopa, let's start with the Koopas. Mm-hmm. The programmers at under Gunpyoki's studio were too lazy and incompetent to figure out how to make a turtle shell slide across the ground. So they said, let's just leave it here and let it explode and hurt Mario.
Hey, guys, it's Sarasaland. What are you going to do?
Hey, it's Friday. Tomorrow's the weekend.
Yeah. Forget it, Gun. It's Sarasaland.
Yeah.
And then Gunpyoki was like, hey, let's work on that fireball. What? You can't get it to
fire
bounce. You can't get it to bounce and continue bouncing across the screen like it does in Mario Brothers 1. Hey, it's a ball. Hey, what you gonna do? You know, let it fly up in the air. It's gonna fly away.
Oh, I didn't know he was an Italian gentleman. I assumed he was Japanese.
Well, I mean, that's why they had him develop the Mario game.
Oh,
he could relate.
Oh. Yeah, because of his Italian heritage, of course. Well, listen, if Miyamoto really cared, he would have had his ass in that development room.
Oof!
This is a family friendly show.
You know what? I agree, but what I think is that Shigeru Miyamoto was concentrating on what the moneymakers were at the time,
he's
which
delegating.
Is the console TV plugged in consoles. This Game & Watch Deluxe was going to be a fad that's over in a week. But what happened was
they came out with that
Tetris.
Mr. Paoki, he trusted Mr. Paoki to take over this project. And he said, look, I know your judgment. I know you love the desert. Let's make a desert Mario game. And let's get it done.
You know, it's right there on his wiki. Paoki, he loves the desert.
Yeah, it's the third bullet on his wiki page.
Wow.
Loves bugs and the desert. So it's like, I want to make a Mario game. So speaking of weird settings, and we talked about this, like a lot of it's familiar. Like we got a lot of the familiar Mario stuff, but everything's just a little off. Like the invincibility music, it's not the same music. It's like the
song we know and love.
It's the can-can yeah. song. And the pipes, when you go down the pipe, it's not the old pipe music. It's some other weird song. So it's like, yeah, everything's just a little off. And it's a strange experience, but I think it's a super fun game.
You know, I keep going back to Mario.
It's just Mario. What do you want?
With this game. Because at the end, I just expected to be like, oh, yeah, this is a dream.
Exactly.
Just like Mario 2, because that's kind of what it feels like. Just, I don't know, everything's just tweaked a little bit.
And that's why I had to ask, is like, is this a Doki situation? It's almost like they intentionally made the Doki Mario, only it was like on purpose.
No,
this is what intentionally means.
This was all in-house at old Nintendo HQ.
Old gun. Wacky dude.
Well, just to touch on where this one is now, the Super Mario series has continued to this day. The Super Mario Land series, though, is kind of disjointed. The direct sequel returned to the conventional Mario elements, like Fire Flowers, but the third game was Wario Land. From there, Nintendo just did a redo of the series eventually with New Super Mario Brothers DS. So I think I believe on the Game Boy Advance they just pushed out like remakes of like Super Mario All-Stars and stuff like that, and those games, didn't they? Like Super Mario World, and
I honestly have no idea.
yeah so on Game Boy Advance they re-released the classic Nintendo games.
Yeah,
they re-released the Mario 2, the Mario World, the Mario 3.
Yeah.
But I mean it. Yeah, which were great ports of the classics for the Mario Advance, and but you know Mario Land continues on to this day. You didn't mention it. It has Super Mario 3D Land, which is the latest trend in Mario's on the 3DS.
See, from my read of the Wikipedia on that was it sounded like it was like a whole new start of the series, because isn't it 2D and 3D elements mixed together?
Yeah, I mean, they got to make it modernized for the children of today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they don't know what they're doing.
Well, that sounded more like a continuation of New Super Mario Brothers to me than this line of series.
Yeah, I think Princess Daisy kind of ended her run in. I don't know, you know, I did not play Mario Land 2. I don't know if there's a Princess Daisy there, but Princess Daisy in Canon, I think she ended her run in Mario Land, this one on the Game Boy, and she's otherwise shown up in you know, group settings such as Mario Party and Kart.
Yeah, she's in like every other just let's run around and do stuff game. Yeah.
But any Mario proper, she is. I think this might be the only one she appeared in. Hey, send your angry emails to Steve. I did not Google this one. This is my assumption.
Well, it's interesting because like you went off on this game saying how superior Mario Land 2 was, and then you just told me you never played Mario Land 2. So I don't know what to believe.
Since upstart of this episode, I said that I never played it. But from all accounts, all reviews, and all the most besses I've read, Mario Land 2 is the superior game.
Came at me, bro.
Wow. I'm going to give you guys a shocking stat here. As of 2018, Daisy has appeared in 73 games.
Good Lord. But are they all like multiplayer pick a character games, or is she in like real ones?
If
can you read them off for us?
I still would have guessed like 20.
That's a good
like
point.
Actually more like 10, not 73 freaking.
Yeah, it's like what, like 6 carts, like 2 tennises. Like yeah, once you add.
No, here I got the list open, and it has a list of all of her games in the Super Mario series. She is in 3 games, which I don't even consider 2 of them to be canon or in the show.
And such as?
So Super Mario Land is on here, number 1 of 3. Number 2 of 3, Super Mario Maker, which is, I don't consider that canon.
I know.
And Super Mario Run, which I believe is that iPhone game.
Oh, DTR's favorite game. Yeah, he loved that one.
Super Mario Run, it exists in kind of a mix of Super Mario World and Land.
See, this so Wikipedia, their list is much more extensive, which is she is apparently a caddy. She's Luigi's caddy in
NES
Open Tournament Golf.
The list I was saying is there's only 3 in the Mario proper series that she's in. She's in all these other, she's in kart, she's in tennis, she's in golf, she's in everything else. There's only 3 of the Mario propers.
Mm. Yeah.
Okay.
You're right.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's see. Yeah, she's basically an accessory character in every game where like the whole cast is around. You know, Mario Party 3.
Yeah.
And onward.
Yeah.
Double Dash.
I know her best as a skin swap on Daisy and Smash Brothers.
You mean Peach?
She's a skin swap on
Daisy. Skin swap of Peach.
Ah, okay.
Isn't it kind of implied that she's like Luigi's girl? am I reading into that?
I think just by default, like they, you know, if you're player 2, then yeah, you get Luigi and you get Daisy for a lot of these games.
But I mean,
yeah.
In her first appearance, she's clearly being pursued by Mario. So,
I mean, Mario's got a lot of this going on though, because you also have a Pauline. If you guys remember her,
she's the Galaxy Lady, right?
She is the
Rosalina. Original one. That's the Galaxy.
Rosalina. Wait,
who's Pauline?
It's from Donkey.
Yeah. Donkey Kong was the original.
Donkey's Kong.
Yeah. So.
Interesting.
Yeah. I feel like there's
one
more that we're forgetting, but I don't know.
I think it's Wa-Peach we're forgetting. When's that going to happen?
What Daisy?
Bowsette? Is that the one the internet lost its mind over for a bit?
Not just the internet.
Oh, no. Pauline is in Super Mario Odyssey, apparently. What the hell?
I do not remember that. She's the mayor of New Donk City.
Yeah. The problem is whenever I go to the Mario Wiki and stuff like that, it just gives you too much info. Pauline, also known as Daniela Verducci, is the original damsel in distress.
Is she on Housewives of Mushroom Kingdom?
No. God, God damn it, Todd.
That's
I told you.
A Funny or Die video in the making.
Yeah. Stop don't wasting burn. All this hot IP.
Don't burn my IP.
I know. We haven't gotten the rights yet from Nintendo.
We never will.
The other note I had here was this is the number 4 Game Boy selling game of all time.
Wait. Okay.
So,
okay.
Number 4 with 18 million copies.
That is surprisingly low, to be honest.
So this
Tetris got to be number 1 because that was a pack in and people loved it.
Yes.
Well, I mean, I'm not going to argue that one.
Let's go 1 through 4. Let's go. What is it? Number 2.
Tell us, Steve. Jeez.
So this chart groups together the generation of Pokemon games.
Oh,
so,
God. Yeah, you're right.
Number 1 is Tetris, 35 million. Number 2, Pokemon Red, Green, and Blue, 31 million, which is a shocking amount because it was never a pack-in game. So it's only 3 million behind.
It was like
the
biggest game ever.
Yeah, it's only 3 million behind Tetris, which if you bought the system ever, you got for free. Pokemon Gold and Silver is next at 23 million. Then you got Super Mario Land. I'll do the top 10 here. Pokemon Yellow, 14 million. Super Mario Land 2 is coming in at number 6 at 11 million. Pokemon Crystal is number 7, 6 million. Dr. Mario.
Ooh.
Good puzzler.
Old Docky M's.
Yeah, it's weird because on the console it has 3 colors and the Game Boy only has 2. So they kind of do a little shading on some of the pills.
Well,
that's coming in at number 8 with 5.3 million, which is also the same for Pokemon Pinball at number 9. Mm-hmm. And number 10, Wario Land, Super Mario Land 3.
There it is.
5.19.
Just so all of the top 10 except for Tetris are either Mario or Pokemon games. Am I wrong?
Yes.
That's pretty crazy.
And let me know, I'm just going to let you guys know here, the top 19 are all published by Nintendo.
Yeah.
So, number 20, you could have given me a million guesses and I wouldn't have gotten it because it's a Game Boy Color game, but it is Yu-Gi-Oh! Duel Monsters 4.
Mm. I mean, that's Pokemon 20. For the next generation.
Yeah, it's like fake Pokemon.
Yeah, it's like, you know, discount Pokemons. but yeah, and then Dragon Warrior Monsters is coming in at 22. That's like, again, that's kind of like a Pokemon ripoff game, not entirely, but kind of. So, did you ever play that one, Todd?
Nope.
Yeah, it's like you can recruit monsters from the Dragon Warrior series, and you fight
a lot of slimes.
Yes, a lot of slimes. So really, I'm looking and looking. DuckTales is number 41 on this list. That is the only non-monster collecting game from a third-party publisher. Like everything else is either by Nintendo or you collect monsters in it for the top 40. Including a touchy game made by Bandai. There's 2 of them on here.
Kind of makes sense. Because Tamagotchi was already like a portable thing.
Yeah.
I feel like we have a lot to get to here.
Yes.
Keep going.
Let's move on to the most best, if you got it, Todd.
Well, you didn't read the chat because you just said you would BRB.
Oh my god.
I can do the manual.
Okay. Yeah, let's do the manual here.
Alright, so I found the manual, as I just implied. This is a Game Boy manual, but there's a little bit of color in it. It's not like completely black and white. There's like some red that they kind of shade in there. It's really kind of basic. It's a lot of text. So for a Mario manual, it's kinda a letdown. And they kind of explain everything like this is the first Mario game that's ever been made. Like, they're like, you get a star to become invincible. You get a mushroom to power up. And I mean, I guess you have to explain those kind of things, but they really are just real matter of fact about a lot of stuff. We went over the weird enemy names that don't quite match the rest of the
series
games. Yeah. But the real saving grace here is they run down every single enemy, give them a name and description, and they're pretty fun. So there's some fun descriptions in there. But really, it's kind of disappointing. It's not terrible. It does what it does, but for a Mario manual, kind of a letdown. So I'm going to give this 3 out of 5 Mario 2s.
Oh.
I mean, it still hits all the notes, but could have been a lot better.
Yeah, I feel like that's a low score for like a...
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
Yeah, a Nintendo product.
It's very text-heavy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a lot of good drawings, of course, but a lot of
this is in a post-Mario 2 world we live
that's
in.
That's what I'm saying. Like, this is their follow-up. Mm-hmm. Or I guess 3 was, but like when you're comparing it to what already exists, it's like, come on, like you can do better. I mean, I guess the pages are smaller, but that's no excuse. It's no excuse at all. So yeah, there you go.
I feel like you should go extra color on the manual and extra pretty because it's a Game Boy game.
No, they're kind of basic with their manuals in the old Game Boys.
I feel like that's the wrong thing. You got to compensate there.
Like I said, they're smaller.
Well, Todd, do you have most best?
Oh, you know what? I think we like this game pretty swell for what it is. But I do have, let's see, let me count them up here. 4 reasons why.
Ooh.
Mario Land is the most best game of all time. Right, the first one is, I mean, a couple of these are short and sweet, but this one is pretty short, pretty sweet. And it's by Sandra Massaro in August of 2017, and it's titled 5 Stars. Oh. And Sandra Massaro wrote in a review for Super Mario Land on the Game Boy, "Good puzzle selection, 5 stars.
Yeah. Yeah, Mario Land known for its puzzles. Mm-hmm. For sure. This great basic platformer, puzzles galore. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, if people weren't convinced before, they're definitely convinced now. All right, next one is titled I Love This Game by Ryan Davis in July of 2013. And Ryan wrote, "I did a speed run on it on hard mode. Sadly, it wasn't good enough. Still love it. Peace out. 5 stars.
What is hard mode?
If you beat the game once, you can replay it in hard mode. If you beat it twice, then you can, I believe it, you get a stage select.
You become president.
It's weird, though. You get the stage select, but this is not a game with a battery. So you, like, if you want to get to that mode, I believe you have to beat the game twice every time.
And like in a row, and just keep
in a row, yep.
And destroy your double A battery.
Put some fresh batteries in.
Yeah, the hard mode just adds more enemies. I believe I read. So,
It requires 8 batteries.
You got to swap them out really fast. All right, the next one is titled "The Greatest 1989 Mario Game" by Mark NES.
Oh.
His NES is in his name. Yep. And he wrote in April of 2012. And Mark NES wrote, "Personally, I really like this game. Released around the Game Boy's very first launch, Super Mario Land assisted the Game Boy sales. and Super Mario Land also kept selling for at least 7 years thanks to the sales and loyal fans that are just as great as this game. I won't bash the graphics because, hey, what do you expect? 1080p or 3D in Game Boy games back then? Now, the Nintendo 3DS keeps Super Mario Land alive via the Virtual Console for 3DS. The music is great, and the gameplay is cool. If you have up to 30 to 45 minutes of free time, play this game to keep you entertained. 5 stars.
Ooh. That's a good review. It's enthusiastic.
Mm-hmm.
It almost rhymed at the end there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and he puts it in its place, like, which is kind of what we were doing up top of the show, is that, hey, what did you expect? 1080p? This game ain't that. Get out of here.
Right, well, I feel like I had to force that perspective on you because you were crapping on it from the start.
Well, I'm convinced. And Mark Ines convinced me. All right. Yeah. The next one is by a reviewer we've heard before, and it is titled... Paper Mario Color Splash for the Wii U is the greatest video game in the universe, a true classic, the best of the best. And that's the title. And it's written by old writer Ivan Orozco in April of 2016.
Oh, we had him before?
Mm. And in his review for Super Mario Land on the Game Boy, Ivan wrote... Paper Mario Color Splash for the Wii U is the greatest video game in the universe, a true classic, the best of the best. Paper Mario Color Splash rocks. Every single Mario game imaginable that Nintendo made are the greatest video games in the universe. They're true classics, the best of the best. Every single Mario game imaginable that Nintendo made rocks. Smiley face, 5 stars.
So is that a Paper Mario Splash review?
No, this is a review for Super Mario Land on the Game Boy.
Okay. I believe you.
I hope some of those convinced you, Todd, that maybe you're wrong. So,
yep, got him.
Yep, I have a ranking system. It's called the Herzog hierarchy ranking system in ratings. This game is checking in at Herzog 10.
Whoa. Oh, wow.
That's Jesus two in a row.
Christ.
Wow. Jesus Christ.
Just giving them 10s out. Wow. But no, this is a
friendly show.
You know, I'd rather play a great game for 20 minutes than, you know, a crappy game for any amount of time. But, like, you know, an average game for, like, 3 hours. So this, you know... This game is not too taxing, but it's fun. It's a fun Mario game
that you can
put in your system and play.
Wow.
Oh, and I did find a Yelp review for Mario Brothers Tacos.
Not what I was expecting.
Mario Brothers Tacos, which is in Dallas, Texas. So
you guys can swing on by.
Yeah.
God's country.
Yep. Commute right over there.
Here you are.
This reviewer wrote,
Do they have an American flag out front?
Oh, yeah. Otherwise, you can't open in Texas. What are you talking about?
Yeah, you can't even have a business.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, you don't always have to have the American flag, but you better have the Texas flag out there instead of
that's a great point.
Lone Star State.
We've all learned that.
So this reviewer writes, I don't eat pork due to my religion, so I ordered a few beef and chicken tacos and ended up finding pork mixed in with all the tacos. I was very, very disappointed. Unfortunately, they've lost my trust to ever go back. 2 stars.
Two.
Okay. Wait, yeah, maybe they had a nice atmosphere or something.
They completely lost their trust. I'll give them an extra star.
Fed.
They gave me extra napkins.
love the guac.
Yep. Fed them meat that was a sin that could cause them to go to cause them eternal damnation. 2 stars.
Man, Mormonism is weird.
Yeah. Hey, what are you going to do? Your God is your God. So,
our God is an awesome God.
Yeah. So, Todd, did you get a chance to rate this one?
Yeah, I did my calculations. The DuckTales scale has two primary factors. Primary factor number one, nostalgia. How much nostalgia do I have for this game? Primary factor number two, replayability. Would I replay it in these times we live in, these dire times we live in, where people are being fed pork against their religion? You know what? Nostalgia. No nostalgia for this specific game, but it is a Mario. And it is a Game Boy game. And I do love that Nintendo. All right, so that's what I'll say about that. Replayability, you know what? Yeah, like Steve has said multiple times already, this is a nice little jaunt, 30 minutes to 45 minute little jaunt. You can pop it in, play through it, and you'll be happy when you're done. Even though there's, you know, not branching paths you can take,
but it's not fun.
There's not new skills to unlock.
It's a jaunt.
It's a jaunt, and it's fun. Those calculations. Let me turn to my whiteboard here for a second and double check my.
Get that abacus. Don't forget.
Yeah. Well, you know, I use a calculator nowadays, but you know, I'll put Super Mario Land on the Game Boy in at a 0.50. DuckTales.
Wow. Okay.
That's good. That was a good guess.
That is better than half.
Is it? Okay. Well, I guess 0.58.
Yes.
Getting there. Always getting there.
A little bit lower on the nostalgia scale, specifically for this game.
Look, I factored that in. Trust me. Maybe I think I went a little too high on the replayability. Maybe
I think so. It isn't
my downfall.
Let me tell you this: not as replayable as Wario Land. I'll give you that one.
Well, now we know.
You've
made that very clear. Well, he loves his giant sprites. That's what we know about.
I love those giant sprites.
The bigger the sprite, the better.
Cool and refreshing.
Lemon, yeah. Lime. Why not both?
Yeah. Well, as Mitch Hedberg said, though, he tried to make Sprite once with lemon and lime, but there's more to it than that. So
there sure is.
But we should be moving along here. Todd, was there anything else you wanted to say about the old Mario Land?
I feel like we barely touched on the weirdness of this game. In the second level, or the second stage, I can't even remember where it is.
Second
you
world?
Start by coming out of a UFO.
Yeah, you definitely do. Kind of weird.
Well, the weirdness, most of it's just background elements, though. It's not like, I don't know, like the UFO is just in the background.
It's the entire setting, though. Well, yeah. Sure, it's in the background, but the implication is Mario descended from that UFO to start in World 2.
I know.
You gotta accept the story here. I mean, it's not just background. It's everything.
I mean, it's a hell of a game that's happening in the cutscenes here. Like,
definitely.
Yeah. I mean, when you compare it to, I mean, it kind of makes, it doesn't, so wait, let me restate that. It doesn't make sense. But when you compare it to modern games also don't make sense. Odyssey, you're flying around in a flying hat. What's going on there, man?
True. It's one big hat. Flies around.
Ooh. Well, Huel, was there anything else you wanted to add?
I kind of talked about this in the... Well, maybe I didn't, but we started off with the World 2 theme on this episode. Just great music overall. I mean, that's a common Mario trope that
not even Mario. Game Boy itself. The Game Boy has some of the greatest music of all time. Any game.
Well, you know why.
Because of that chip. Oh, I know why, because it's a YPB fact.
It is a YPB
fact. Proven scientifically.
Yes.
Is that the music on Game Boys are better because it's closer to your face?
The speaker is closer to your face, so yeah. You get to appreciate it. That is a hard and steadfast YPB fact. But, I mean, yeah, it just continues that Mario trend of great music. And I love the music in this game. I think we lost Todd there, too. To the YPB fact hole.
Oh, listen. Todd is always tickled when we can talk facts on this show.
Yeah. The speaker is closer to your face.
Yeah. Listen, if you're listening at home, or in your car, you can get on our Discord, and we have all the YPB facts pinned.
We've pinned them all.
You can read them. It's very convenient. sorry. Now I just read one. YPB fact. Elise Dragoon. It's a game where you do not use a spreader on your Super C.
Yep. So can't use it. A lot of facts to read.
And just one other one. Honey is made from bees spewing their guts all over the honeycomb. You'll like that one because it was the Huel YPB fact. So.
No, it's just one that I typed.
No, it's one that he wrote. I think actually I might have said that.
I'm pretty sure it's a Todd.
Because I did deep research on bees.
I barely... I do love some Huel, but I will not type out Huel YPB facts. That's a little too much for me. I'll let Todd do that.
People from Scandinavia are known as Scandy boys.
Just remember, you can always listen back to the archives on ypbpodcast.com.
Or go to the Discord.
Question. In Parasite Eve, who goes full frontal nude? Answer, the Parasite Eve herself.
The Parasite Eve herself, yeah.
Oh my god. All right, we'll just gotta read these all day, so let's move on.
That can be our next filler episode.
Yeah, just 20 minutes of us reading our own jokes back.
Well, no, it's the YPB fact dictionary.
Facts, our own facts. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, fact book. I think that was actually a thing back in the day.
Oh, yeah. The YPB almanac.
Todd, why don't you open up that mailbox for us?
Ooh, oh boy, sorry.
Todd, did you get any emails?
You know what? We're going so long, fellas. I gotta save my time for a bit. All right,
we really are. Sure.
Okay, Huel, how about you?
Unnecessarily long. Well, I did get an email. We gotta read at least one. It says, "Dear YPB, I'm so glad you covered a game with ninjas last week. Ninjas are totally sweet and can kill whatever they want. They could even kill a baseball, even if it isn't alive. Man, they're awesome." Ninjas need to be in more things. They used to be in everything. What kind of game would you like to see ninjas in? And that's from Robert at realultimatepower.net.
What kind of game would you like to see ninjas in?
Oh. What is happening?
Sorry, a little background music for us while we're talking about this.
Sure.
All right. Is that is that from last week's game?
No, this is Against the Ninja by Dragon Sound.
Okay.
From the movie Miami Connection.
All right, then. So, my normal answer wouldn't work here, because you can kind of play as a ninja in Fallout.
Yeah, you can tool your correct.
You can be a little sneaky boy.
Mm-hmm. Be a sneaky boy.
Sneaky boy with little melee weapons and sword and stuff. Boy.
Mm-hmm. And you can normally ninja is normally a class in a lot of the RPGs I play.
Yeah, all those Final Fantasy tactics. Mm-hmm. Tactics.
So I'm just gonna say, how about just a Zelda game? I'd like to play as a ninja in one of those. Be able to, especially link to the past, and actually be able to jump those goddamn fences. That'd be fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a great point. Well, I feel like Link can become a ninja.
He's in, practically a ninja, right?
Breath of the Wild, he's pretty ninja-like, to be honest.
Yeah, I think from N64 onward, they add like dodges and rolls, right?
I mean, there's like the Sheik, the Sheikah. They're pretty much ninjas.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know
what? For my answer, I'm going to go out on a limb, mention a game. It's a little indie joint.
Oh,
I don't think
God.
You guys have heard of it.
Hmm.
Maybe the listeners have not heard of it either. It's called Crusader Kings 2.
Oh.
You know what?
Crusader ninjas?
If you could employ ninjas as part of your your advisor committee, and you could send them to other countries to sneakily sneak around and execute other people in other countries, that would be a sweet little addition.
That sounds pretty cool.
As of right now, the closest thing you have is your council who can go and kind of sow dissent throughout the land, or in other counties and other duchies and other countries.
Secretly sow dissent.
Sow dissent. Or to proselytize your religion so you can expand your religion and gain more power for your pope.
You sure you're not talking about civilization? Because you can do both of that and civilization, too.
Sure, you can, but one is more hyper-realistic. But what I would like is to recruit a ninja to go and secretly assassinate people. That would be awesome.
Hmm. Well, they do fight with honor.
They do.
Is that a ninja thing, that they fight with honor? I didn't think it was.
Sure.
Huel, did you have an answer for this?
Oh, probably a ninja kart racer.
Oh, that's a good one.
I mean, there's a lot of possibilities there.
Yeah. I mean, Nintendo should just put, like, ninjas in their Mario Kart racer.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like, you know.
They're like smoke bombs, shurikens, all the classics.
Yep.
I mean,
kunais.
Mm-hmm.
Now that Smash Brothers has like more dirks. Than 90,
a lot of dirks.
Now that Smash Brothers has like more than 90 characters in it, like let's just get weird with these kart racing games. Like, but like 90 people in those too. It'd be fun. Well, I did get a mail this week. Dear sweet boys, it was the winter of 1989, but I mostly remembered it as a winter of discontent. I saved all of my pennies, all of my nickels, all of my dimes and dollars, but not quarters. Quarters are for fascists. With this filthy lucre, I was able to procure Nintendo's The Game Boy in my choice of launch titles. But alas, I chose Alleyway, which was naught but a clone of Breakout or Arachnoid.
Hmm.
To make a long story short, that was the last time I saw my mother alive. What's your favorite launch title for a video game system? Best wishes, Ghost of King Kong Bundy.
Wow. King Kong Bundy.
Ghost of King Kong Bundy.
It's not even Spooptober.
I know.
We're far away from Spooptober.
Mm.
Well, kind of close. Huh, launch title. I mean,
I'm going to have to Google this one.
It is hard to beat Tetris. I mean,
hard to beat Tetris.
We did just talk about it. But it was also Mario Land and what, Alleyway? What is it called?
Duck Hunt was a launch. Excitebike was a launch.
Duck Hunt was a launch?
It was a launch in the U.S. In the U.S.
NES launched with the gun thing?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
mine's pretty simple. Super Mario World. That's a stellar game.
Hard to beat.
Hard to beat that one. You know what is the launch title for Sega CD? Night Trap.
Oh my God.
Party!
F-Zero was a launch?
Anyone listening, if you have not heard the Night Trap episode, please do.
Oh, one of our best.
Please do.
Stellar.
I implore you.
Pilot Wings and Pilot Wing 64 were launches?
Yeah, Pilot Wing 64, not so great. You know what? It's fine.
Skim of the list. My number one has got to be Mario World, but number two, close to, is Mario 64.
Yeah, that I was just going to say, if you're going to go 64, then you got to go, you know, you got to go Mario.
Got to go M64, as the kids called it.
So.
Yeah, I think that's my answer. It's probably the one I've played the most outside of Tetris. I played a lot.
Mario 64?
Yeah.
All right. Well, Todd, did you get
Tiger Woods PGA Tour 2007 was a launch title on the PlayStation 3.
Okay. Well, hard to beat. That's my new answer.
Sorry, I probably had a connection problem because I'm trying to load this list of launch titles, and there's 146 games have been launch titles. So that's way more than I
usually have trouble loading lists.
Well, it's got images for each of these, and I didn't realize like all of these old systems had like dozens, like the Atari 5200 and ColecoVision. Made famous by The Simpsons, of course.
Lego.
Come on, what's going to take for you to buy a ColecoVision from old Gil?
Your old pal Gil a break.
Tommy Lasorda Baseball feels like a future title for us.
Lee Carvalho's Putting Challenge?
Oh, God. That sounds great. The Tommy Lasorda Baseball game is a real... real game, though. All right. Todd, I feel like we should move along. Did you get an ask this week?
Let's bypass this ask this week. We're going way too long.
We got something to do.
All right. Yes, we do. Todd, do you want to start the music and the preamble?
Sure. Well, let me start the preamble, which is that usually we have a game scheduled in the next coming week. Either a guest wants to be on the show and they have a game they want to play, or we have some anniversary, or we have some game we want to play. But next week, we have nada. We don't know what we're playing next week. Mm. So it's time to make our decision to choose the fate of our destiny. Alrighty.
Always a delight when Todd forgets what it's called.
Now, if you look here... On one side of this coin,
ooh.
I have painted on. I'm holding it right. We're in my home studio right now. I'm painting, showing you boys right now. One side of this coin. We didn't even get into this in this episode. These enemies have great names in this game, right? I painted Hai Hoi Hoi, who is a boss of the Eastern Kingdoms.
Mm-hmm.
And on the other side, I painted Izzy Koopa. All right.
Okay, but which? Okay.
I'm gonna hang on a second. Let me get my wheel pulled out for a second.
Wait, which does each represent though?
You know what?
Unleashing
Izzy
the wheel
is on the heads.
Uh huh.
And Hai Hoi Hoi is on.
Tail.
Is on the tail side. Sorry, I'm still loading up my wheel and getting everything ready.
This wheel, it's hefty.
Yeah, the
wheel
is causing me some trouble. It's so distracting me. All right.
Yeah, I mean, so you're implying Super Mario Land is a bad game?
No, it's a game.
Not accept. All right,
it's a game.
Okay. Well, should you explain to the listener in case they have not heard before how we choose the fate of our destiny?
So I have two lists here, two wheels.
You've explained coins and wheels.
Coins.
Not what they do.
So on this, on the head side of the coin, which is Izzy Cooper, I have, is corresponding to the good wheel. I have two wheels here next to us. You see in studio here, I only have one stand, but I have two wheels sitting here on the ground. I have a good wheel and a bad will, which is a list of good games that we can play or bad games we can play. It's the top. Let's see. We're making our way down the list. So this is now the top of. Let me scroll all the way down on this wheel. It is the top 1,018 good games as rated by GameFAQs.com users.
Wow.
And the bottom 200 games as rated by GameFAQs.com users. And I'm going to flip this coin, and this is going to tell me which wheel I'm going to put on the spinner.
All right.
So here we go. I'm going to flip this coin, and it is on Hi Hoi Hoi, which means I'm going to load up the bad wheel. Let me pull up this bad wheel.
The implication that I did not agree on, but okay.
I mean, this bad wheel. All right, hang on. I gotta pull the pin out. Let me get it.
Get that. Hang on a second. Get the lift. I'm not going to help you. I'm going to watch you do this.
Alrighty. Whew. It's got a lot of good, good bad games on this wheel. Ready to spin?
On that wheel.
Here we go. Let's spin the wheel.
Make a day.
And it has landed on a title for the Nintendo's the NES.
Uh-oh.
Called Athena. I've never heard of this game.
Oh. Interesting.
In Athena, a fantasy world of boundless adventure awaits you. I am Athena. They call me the goddess of wisdom, but I have grown weary of my dull life in the castle. The fantasy world beyond the castle walls beckons me. Strange and fearsome. More description, blah, blah, blah. All right. Never heard of this game. Right. We're playing Athena next week.
Brooklyn. Okay. Well, there you go.
I'm looking at it right now, and there is some troubling box art for this one. So we're already off to a good start.
Is it aggressively busted as you coined last
aggressively
week?
Aggressively busty.
on the Japanese version of it is, yeah.
Huh. Yes. Kinda, yeah. Okay. Wow.
It's busty, but she also looks young, which makes me feel all sorts of uncomfortable. So,
oh yeah, looking at more of the this could be bad. Okay,
troubling times we live in.
Concerning.
Let's just play the PAL version of this game.
Yep. And
well, this is the episode that finally ends the podcast.
Athena, like Greek. Oh, but you could, a playthrough is 22 minutes long, so that's good at least.
Perfect.
Yeah, perfect. A little light lifting next week. All right, then. Well, Todd, was there anything else you wanted to say before we signed off here?
Biokinton is a cloud boss guy.
Oh.
FYI.
He is. It's true.
Well, Huel, how about you?
A stone statue that energetically shakes its fists as it runs around.
Oh. Is that the description for a MOA?
That is Toko Toko!
of course. So on that note, here's a snifferoo from next week's game.
Just one word from her and my troubles are long gone, but I think I'll get along.